Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. The Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation is trying to land agreements with Chinese companies to buy the state's gas. At the same time, it's trying to get through a federal environmental review and negotiate with North Slope companies to sell the gas. It was all discussed during an update to state lawmakers last week. And as the Alaska Energy Desk's Rasha McChesney reports from Juneau, legislators had some tough questions for AGDC officials.
Before lawmakers met with the state's Gasline Corporation, Senator Kathy Geisel sent them a bulleted list of the information she wanted for the meeting. The Anchorage Republican asked for everything from a list of contractors the corporation is using and how much money it's compensating board members for travel to certain types of state employees moonlighting for the corporation as well. On that last one, Geisel says she is concerned about the influence of partisan politics on the project.
Here's the governor's deputy chief of staff on a list documented by AGDC as working for AGDC.
She's not the only legislator who said that they were concerned about political influence on the LNG export project. It has been a key issue for current Governor Bill Walker, and it's an election year. I asked Anchorage Democrat Garen Tarr what she thought of Geisel's letter and the possibility of state employees splitting their time between their regular jobs and working on the gas line. She said she wants the legislature to have oversight, but thinks it's important not to micromanage what the state corporation is doing.
It just seems that, you know, people who are politically aligned with the governor are more willing to trust what they're doing moving forward, and people who are not politically aligned with the governor are not trusting.
Tarr says she's concerned that the politics are getting in the way of lawmakers being able to accurately gauge the LNG export project's feasibility based on its merit rather than their own political alignments. Putting aside the politics, a lot of lawmakers had questions about how the project would be financed and what the state could be obligated to pay for. They heard presentations from the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Revenue as well. Here's Senator Bert Stedman of Sitka asking the Department of Revenue about its analysis of how the state is going to pay for its portion of construction on the project.
And when you have cost overruns of 10, 20, 30 billion possibly, which isn't out of the realm of possibilities, how are you going to factor in the state exposure to capital calls, in particular if we draw on the permanent fund?
Lawmakers also asked about tariffs and the trade war with China. Frank Richards, the senior vice president of the Gasline Corporation, says so far the project seems to have escaped major impact from the steel tariffs, and China hasn't put a tariff on LNG imports.
China wants clean, efficient natural gas. Alaska has it. U.S. wants to produce it and export it.
Their deadline for signing commercial agreements with potential Chinese investment partners and buyers is in December. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
Two minor accidents near Valdez have prompted a citizens' watchdog group to ask the state's top environmental regulator to require tougher training for new oil spill response crews in Prince William Sound. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that in late June, an Edison Shuist tugboat hit an oil tanker during a docking maneuver, and then 2 days later, a skiff was caught between an Edison Shuist response barge and a tugboat. During both accidents, there were no injuries and no oil was spilled. Alyeska Pipeline Service Company is replacing Crowley Marine Services with Edison Shuist this summer to escort oil tankers in Prince William Sound. In response to the accidents, the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council is asking the State Department of Environmental Conservation to require the new crews and equipment to be trained in rougher weather conditions. In a July 5th letter, the council states the incidents are, quote, clear symptoms that this transition was too rushed, unquote. Alyeska reports it is taking measures to ensure both accidents don't happen again. In an emailed response, the Alyeska spokesperson, Kate Dugan, said Edison Shuist crews have undergone thousands of hours of training and will continue to train going forward. However, Dugan said Alyeska won't train crews in rougher conditions, arguing it would be too risky for crews and the environment. The DEC met with the council last week and plans to release an official response soon. A Fairbanks man is jailed in Tok, awaiting arraignment on felony driving under the influence charges. Alaska State Troopers reports that 35-year-old Mitchell Joseph was taken into custody Saturday after crashing his vehicle alongside the Tetlin Road on native land where alcohol is banned by the community. Trooper Sam Mitchell, who has two prior felony DUIs, refused a breath test, and troopers got a search warrant to obtain a blood sample, but Mitchell would not cooperate. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Erin Granger.